All right, it's March. The weather is getting nicer outside. You know what that means. Free agency frenzy is right around the corner. You're listening to the CTE Show. I'm Thomas Parkernick, joined by Christian Catanacci, as always. Cat, what's going on, man?
I can't believe it's almost been a month since the Super Bowl ended. Off-season is in full effect. Like you said, it's free agency frenzy. It's right around the corner. We're about 4 or 5 days away, depending on when you're listening to this episode. But man, this is like the heart of the offseason. I can't wait for it. And we got a lot planned for the show. We're going to go through a lot. Bold predictions specifically, because who doesn't like bold predictions, right? Everyone likes when you get it right, but people love when you get it wrong. Even though, you know, the title is bold, it's supposed to be bold for a reason, people tend to love to harp on you after you swing and a miss when it comes to your bold prediction. So we got four each, right? But there's a lot that could go on, right? You see it every single year. Like with the NFL, it's the league that never sleeps. And there's one sport that has free agency down packed, and it's the NFL. And my favorite thing with NFL free agency is the quote unquote legal tampering period. When they open that up 12 o'clock on Monday, and it's like, boom, right away, 12:01, someone's already agreed to a contract. Oh, yeah. It's like, okay, so you're telling me that, yeah, this is the legal tampering period, but they were definitely talking before that. So what is legal tampering? What isn't illegal tampering? That's the best part about it. I'm excited. I know Pac's excited, but first off, your Dolphins have been cutting everybody. Like, the Bills have been cutting everybody. What's going on there?
It's tough.
New era coming in. Gotta save money for Tua.
Mention one of the guys that looks like Christian Wilkins looks like he's definitely on the way out. I may mention him in one of the bold predictions. It's a little bit, I think, upsetting when you see a homegrown player. They could have signed him last year for less. He had a great season. The money went up. I think it is a little bit of poor asset management. That being said, this does happen to a lot of good teams. The Bills last year, same thing. Homegrown player, Tremaine Edmonds. They lost him. I think Christian Wilkins is a bit of a better player than Tremaine Edmonds, also at maybe a more important position for the team. It's frustrating, but hey, the salary cap is a real thing. All the cap deniers out there are real quiet today after the Bills go out and they cut Tre'Davious White, they cut Jordan Poyer. They're still below the cap. Miami releases Xavier Howard, Jerome Baker, two starters who have been on the defense for like 5-6 years. They're still below the cap.
The Cowboys can't afford to bring back Tyron Smith, who's that longtime player. He's been there for 12 years.
And this is after the salary cap increased by an unprecedented $30 million. Because all that happened, like when that happens, all that means is everyone's going to now ask for more money. It doesn't mean that teams now have more to play with, because the price of every position just went up. It's all relative. It's frustrating. This is the first time in my life as a Dolphins fan they're going to have to go out and pay a quarterback like top, top, top dollar. And we're starting to see it affect the roster in other areas. Also, the team's got like 50, 60 million, maybe more combined between Chubb, Jalen Ramsey, and Tyreek Hill. So it's tough. But like you said, we're going to get into some bold predictions. I think we were going to go out and just preview free agency, but the fact that so much is changing with all these players released, we decided to have a little bit more fun with it. And like you said, this is all going to start Monday, because technically free agency opens on Wednesday, but I guarantee you by Wednesday, that CTB CTB free agency tracker that we post every year will be absolutely full.
For sure.
There will be maybe 10 marquee names left on that. That's it. All right. First bold prediction, I'll give you the floor.
I got the floor, right? Okay, so bold free agency, you want to be bold, right? So you want to sort of step outside the box. But my first one, I don't think it's too bold. I mean, it's a move that a lot of people can see coming. I'm sticking with the position that's bold, I guess, because everybody loves to talk about the quarterbacks. And I'm going to go right to Russell Wilson. I think he is going to end up with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And look, for a few reasons. One, it feels like a no-brainer fit. I know they're coming out and saying Kenny Pickett's our guy. There's no way that, I mean, what they did last year with Mason Rudolph showed me all I need to know about Kenny Pickett. His time in Pittsburgh, his short time in Pittsburgh is over. I think Russell Wilson's going to go in, step in, and he's going to be the next Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. And just for the cherry on top, you look at that Pittsburgh Steelers schedule next year, they're traveling into Denver and they're playing the Broncos. So you bet your ass that Russell Wilson is going to be traveling down there as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Will he win that game? I don't know. But Russell Wilson, being the petty guy he is going to love that, and he's going to be all over it. Give me Russell Wilson to the Pittsburgh Steelers as, I mean, my first bold prediction. But again, I don't think it's too bold. I got more bold ones coming later. I'm starting off with letting the waters just get eased, right?
I actually do like the fit a lot. Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll feel kind of similar to me in the way they run their teams, the way they run their organizations. I feel like the players that they have are always pretty similar in nature. And, I mean, Russell Wilson had all this promise leaving Seattle, went out to go play with two offensive head coaches in Nathaniel Hackett and Sean Payton. And, I mean, I do think Russell Wilson was a lot better last year with Sean Payton, but it didn't work out. It didn't translate to playoff appearances, yeah, playoff wins. But with defensive coach Pete Carroll, he was always good. Defense first football. The Seahawks always had a phenomenal roster of talented defensive players, and the Steelers are very similar in that nature. So I like the fit. I like the culture in Pittsburgh. I think it suits Russell Wilson. Very into that bold prediction. I'm scared of Kenny Pickett, though. Not in the fact that I think he's this threat to be a great quarterback, but I do think the Steelers are still somewhat invested in him, being how cheap he is, being he's only in his third year. But you talk about cheap. I mean, Ari Mayrov just said it on our show. Russell Wilson could be available for like $2 million a year.
Even cheaper. He could sign for the veteran minimum, yeah, now more and more people are mentioning that. And that's crazy because I'm happy you brought that up, because that was the first time I really thought about it was when Ari brought it out on our show last week. And if you haven't listened to that show, go in, and because there's no other person that you want to hear from with free agency around the corner. Ari did drop a lot of tidbits that you're going to want to maybe listen to before next week. But yeah, like you mentioned, he could sign for the veteran minimum, and it doesn't matter because he's still owed a boatload of money by the Broncos. That's a very interesting point. But yeah, I guess it's really not that bold, but I think a lot of people can see it. I don't know. Russell Wilson, Pittsburgh, that's my first one. Let's see what yours is.
I'm going to head over to the running back position. There's so much talent this season at running back available. You got Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, Tony Pollard, just guys who have been first-round draft picks in what everyone loves, fantasy football, for the past couple years. One of them is Saquon Barkley, and I think it's so interesting. The career arc of this guy being a second overall pick, which feels pretty unprecedented for a running back. He was really, like, I can't remember, not even just a running back, an offensive player that had the hype of Saquon Barkley coming out. It felt like he was really going to change the running back position. And some people even thought the Cleveland Browns should have taken him at first overall. It hasn't really all that worked out. I mean, he's a good player. I wouldn't say he's a transcendent player, but he's finally hitting free agency for the first time in a six-year career. And it's weird because running backs are, there's so many of them. No one's using the tag on running backs anymore, and I think the contracts that these guys are going to get are going to be below tag value. It's crazy. It feels like it's the only position in the NFL right now where the teams have all the leverage in the world in negotiating. That being said, I think there's one fit that can bring the best out of Saquon Barkley and maybe finally help him reach his heights that we were all promised when he was coming out of the draft. And that's the Los Angeles Chargers.
Wow.
I just think Sean Payton coming in, he brings in Greg Roman. If I'm the Los Angeles Chargers, their front office, the coaching staff, as good as Justin Herbert is, the game plan for me this offseason is taking all the pressure off of him. Invest in your defense. Invest in a good run game. Bolster up that offensive line. Because what they've been asking this guy to do for years now is just not a recipe for success. Dropping back, throwing the ball 45, 50 times a game. That just doesn't work. That's not what Jim Harbaugh's been about. That's not what Greg Roman's been about. And I think going out and getting a guy like Saquon Barkley, who will have interest from other teams. I read the Eagles today, which could be a really fun one as well. But I think going out a guy like Saquon Barkley can really, really take your offense to the next level. And it's something I would love to see in LA.
I'm not going to lie. That caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting, but I mean, after you rambled on, I think I could see that as being a sneaky good fit. And I'm going to piggyback on your little Eagles mention towards the end of your segment there. And I'm going to go and stay with the running back position. I'm going to stay with the Philadelphia Eagles, signing a rival running back for not the first time from the Dallas Cowboys with DeMarco Murray back in 2015. Tony Pollard staying in the NFC East and signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think this is a great fit, and it pains me to say it, but look what DeAndre Swift did in that offense last year, and I think Tony Pollard is the clear better running back.
Really?
So, yeah, I do. I think Tony Pollard is a great running back. I think you look at his first half of the year, and I mean, look, a lot of people, even myself, were like, okay, we're waiting for Tony Pollard to really be the guy that we expected him to be. And then that second half of last year, he was awesome. A lot of people like to harp on him because he wasn't putting up 1,600 yards or whatever he had the previous year. Look, is he a bell cow number one guy? No, but if you have him in with a change of pace guy, which I think Philadelphia will ultimately add, he is an awesome running back. And I'm hearing that you could get this guy for $6 million.
Yeah, like, I figured that would be that around his number.
That is a bang. Like, if I'm the Cowboys, I want the Cowboys to sign up for $6 million. Are you kidding me? I don't think they will, but I think Tony Pollard is going to end up with the Eagles, and he's going to make every single one of those Cowboy fans and the Cowboys themselves bite their words, because next year he is going to be a pain. For a team that can't stop the run already, good luck trying to stop your former guy who you really pretty much kicked right outside the door, and that's Tony Pollard. I think he's going to sign with the Eagles. That's my second bold prediction.
I got to say, that one caught me by surprise. I thought you were going to say Derrick Henry, just because I feel he embodies that Philly run game a little bit more. But then you said, you know, Tony Pollard fitting the scheme, and I remember DeAndre Swift never getting into the end zone last year because Jalen Hurts takes the tush push from the one. Tony Pollard never got into the end zone in Dallas either, so maybe that's where the fit comes in. I like it, though. And like you said, these running backs, the numbers are going to surprise people. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah.
That's not even a bold prediction. That's just a statement that I'm very willing to put out there. There are going to be big names, and obviously these guys always are big names. A lot of it is because of fantasy football. But someone like Tony Pollard, because he's not an every down back. And if you pair him with someone, like you said, a change of pace runner, I think he can be very, very good.
And there are a lot of them in the draft, right? So, like, you could see, like, I think that's a winning recipe. Like, if I'm the Cowboys, I would re-sign Pollard and go and draft a running back in, like, the third, fourth round. Like, one of these bolder sort of type running backs, and then have a good solid change of pace, because that's when Pollard was best, right? You look at Zeke, when Pollard and Zeke were together, that was a fantastic duo. So I think it makes sense with the Eagles for sure.
All right, we'll move on to my next one, and it's hard to talk about free agency, the offseason, without talking about Justin Fields, because literally since the Bears season ended, that has been all anyone wants to talk about. What do they do with him? Is he going to be the quarterback next year? And then when it became very clear that they're going to get the first overall pick, and ultimately they are going to take a quarterback with that pick, at least it's like a 97% chance that happens now, his future has been under speculation for this entire time. And I think what people need to start to understand about this saga is this has nothing to do with Justin Fields. I guess it has some of it, but this is such a financial decision at the end of the day, because the fact that when you trade for Justin Fields and you immediately have to make a decision on his fifth-year option, and if you commit to that, you are now committed to him for 2 years, fully guaranteed, and that second year is quite a bit of money. And if you don't commit to that, and he has a breakout season and he reaches the heights that I think a lot of people think he's capable of doing, you are now in a position where you could lose him for nothing after just one season, or you got to pay him $45+ million. So Justin Fields just feels like the ultimate headache. And in a quarterback market where there is Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, some more reliable guys, I think the way that Ryan Poles has talked about Justin Fields recently with what the Bears plan to do with him has taught us everything we need to know. He started off by saying they're going to do right by Justin and move him before free agency, and now it's coming out that they might keep him. And we've learned one thing. NFL GMs do not want anything to do with the baggage in terms of financial headache that comes with a player like Justin Fields, who isn't all that proven in the NFL. And my bold prediction, so much rambling to get to the bold prediction, is that Justin Fields is still a Chicago Bear come the NFL draft. And I'll even go one step further and I'll say he's still a Chicago Bear come, let's say, July 1st.
Wow. So are you saying that with the assumption that they're going to keep him as their quarterback, or they're still picking Caleb?
I think they want to move him. They're going to absolutely pick a quarterback. I think they want to move him. I just think that it is going to get harder and harder, and the longer this drags on, the less leverage that they have. And who knows, maybe it might come down to the point where they're like, if all we can get is a fourth, fifth round pick, we're not really a team that's in any sort of cap hell. Let's just keep the guy.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I just searched. I had to search up what his fifth year option was, and it's $25.664 million. Then I pulled up the salary list of quarterbacks. That's, you're technically committing to Justin Fields for 1 year of pay. That's, I mean, at the moment is a top 15 salary. So that's quite the financial risk.
That's if you
take his option.
Which are you just adding his 2 years?
No, I believe that's how it works. I don't know. I saw there was an article that from Yahoo that sort of just was just looking ahead, right? But I mean, if you're trading for Justin Fields, you're probably picking up his fifth year option. You're not just going to trade for him for 1 year. Like, I assume that would be the whole, I mean, that's the point. Like, you want to give the guy at least a year or two, right? Like, you don't want to not pick it up and then screw yourself. Let's say he pops off and now you got to pay him 35, or, I mean, it's a double-ended sword, right?
So it very much is. Yeah. And I feel like, let's look at a team like the Las Vegas Raiders. Yes. They have nothing committed at the quarterback position right now. The only guy they have in-house is Aiden O'Connell. They're moving off Jimmy G. So it's like, yeah, you know what? Justin Fields could be a nice direction to go into in this new era. But you haven't invested anything in this guy, so you're not committed to feeling like you need to develop him and feeling like you need to get something out of him. You have a new coach. If it doesn't work out, you kind of feel like, well, we just wasted 2 years of this new era, this new head coach. Now we're starting over again. I don't know. It is a very complex decision. And I think there's so much more to it than just like, he's great as a runner. He's shown flashes as a passer. You can build a really nice offense around him, which I believe is true. But with all that's surrounding it, I don't know. It's a very tough decision.
I think it's way, way, way more difficult. And I already mentioned last week on our show that you're trading for the contract, right? So I'm happy that you did bring that up, because still to this day, like, people are not taking it for what it is. It's like, oh, Justin Fields is going to go here, or like Atlanta should trade for Justin Fields. But it's like, okay, but like, is Atlanta really going to want to invest a draft pick and then more capital when they could just sign someone who I might as well just go into my next bold prediction and say Kirk Cousins? I think Kirk Cousins lands in Atlanta, his wife's native town. I think it just makes way too much sense. And you're seeing a lot more steam as now that the combine's concluded. That was like the biggest story at the combine. It's like, okay, Kirk Cousins, he might be a Falcon. And it makes a lot of sense, right? Like, they've always been a low-key spot. And despite, like I just mentioned, people suggesting that it could be Justin Fields, I mean, sure, Justin Fields, the hometown boy, played in Georgia. It made sense. But Kirk Cousins, I mean, if there's one thing that Kirk Cousins excels at, it's playing in a dome. Like, when he played at home for the Vikings, he was slinging the rock. He was great. And I think he brings a level of stability that, like, look, if the Falcons didn't just go through an experiment with Desmond Ridder and a couple other quarterbacks, like, maybe they go and kick the tires on Justin Fields. But I think this is a team that believes they can be good right now. And let's face it, like, they're not a bad roster, right? They were just poorly coached. Their quarterback situation was an absolute mess next year. So, like, I'm not saying Atlanta's going to go and win 11, 12 games if they sign Kirk Cousins, but this very well, Mitch, might be, if they do get Kirk, the favorites for the South. And I don't think that's like
easily,
that bold of a,
easily,
right? Yeah. 100%. So are they willing to sort of roll the dice with Justin Fields to the point where, like, okay, maybe we can win the division if we trade for Fields, but that's also going to cost us a draft pick. Or we could just go and sort of roll the dice with Kirk Cousins, who guarantees us at least the best shot at winning the division and getting to the playoffs next year, because I think that's what he does. So I think Kirk Cousins lives in Atlanta. His wife makes her way back to her hometown, and I think it's just an ideal fit. I think this is one of the very rare. I mentioned Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh as an ideal fit. I think this even makes more sense, Kirk Cousins to Atlanta.
Yeah, I've thought a lot about this, because when I first saw it sort of starting to build steam, it caught me off guard a little bit, because going into the year, I just felt like, yeah, the Vikings are going to re-sign him. It's their best chance of winning. Their roster's kind of in a weird situation where if you're going to pay a receiver more than $30 million a year, which they're going to do, you better have a good quarterback and you better be in quote-unquote win-now mode. And roster to roster, I don't think Kirk Cousins on the Falcons is a way better team than Kirk Cousins with the Minnesota Vikings. I think it's similar, but if you just look at making the playoffs, what's the easiest way to make the playoffs? Win your division. Not only do you get to play in it, you get a home game out of that. And Kirk Cousins having to go through the Detroit Lions, who were so close to the Super Bowl, an up-and-coming Green Bay Packers team, and a Chicago Bears team that has a lot of money to spend and is presumably going to take a quarterback prospect that has a ton of hype, is a much tougher path than some of the worst teams in the NFL with the Panthers. And I don't love the direction that the Saints are going in. And the Bucks, you know what? They had a great season last year. I think they can build off that. But if that's all that's standing in your way, man, oh man, would I rather play in the NFC South in a dome, like you said. And one thing that the Falcons always do is play at 1 o'clock. And we know how good Kirk Cousins is.
Kirk Cousins, the goal. I didn't even write that down. That's a great point. The goal
every week. Yeah, I think there was 18 weeks last year. I bet you the Falcons played 16 of their 17 games at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. Maybe they played one Thursday night football game that nobody wanted to watch because Desmond Ritter was playing. But yeah, I like that shout a lot. I got two left. You got one left. Let's talk about the New England Patriots. Every year there's the team that spends and spends and spends and spends. And under Bill Belichick, they did it once and it wasn't that long ago. But generally, it was uncharacteristic of him. Like when they did this in 2021 and they spent $232 million in the first couple days of free agency in contracts, which was just insane. That's the second most all time in a free agency window or in an offseason. And the Patriots did that. It's a new regime. You got Gerard Mayo as the head coach. And guess what? I'm not only going to say that they beat that record of $232 million spent. I think they're going to beat the all-time record, which is the Denver Broncos, who spent $235 million a year ago. They're going to go out and beat it. And they're going to beat it with names like Calvin Ridley, Christian Wilkins, and I wrote one marquee offensive lineman. Maybe it's Tyron Smith. I don't think that makes a ton of sense. But I think they're going to go out and just spend a ton of money on this roster because they got a ton of cap space. And New England's kind of a weird team. No one's really talking about them right now. We presume that they're going to have a rookie quarterback, and he just needs more than what they gave Mac Jones to work with. And I think Belichick ran himself out the door because of his lack of an ability to build good weapons on an offense. And I think that's number one priority for this new regime.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think Tyron Smith to New England makes perfect sense because of the fact that they're just going to have a rookie quarterback, and, I mean, no better way to protect a rookie quarterback than getting a pretty good offensive lineman like Tyron Smith. How often does a guy like Tyron Smith come out in the open market? I love that prediction. I think I was going to make the joke, say, what are they going to sign 20 tight ends, but it's a different regime. So, you know, I could see it happening. They have a ton of salary cap space, like a ton, and there are some guys out there that could command top dollar. Like, hey, you didn't even mention Chris Jones. If Chris Jones hits the open market, that's a guy that you would throw a ton of money at, right? Just because, like, what better way to build a young team than bringing a leader like Chris Jones, a guy who just won 3 Super Bowls, right? Like, he's been a part of it, and he is bringing a championship DNA back to New England, a team that's had it for 10 years. So I love that. I think it makes a ton of sense because you're going to have a rookie quarterback. You don't need the cap space right now. You might as well go and blow it. And in 4 or 5 years, you're going to have enough room to sign your rookie, right? If you hit on the draft pick. I think they're in a perfect spot to go and splooge your money because it comes and goes, right? And you see a ton of teams now like that are in positions that they can't really add. They got to subtract because they have to pay their quarterback so much money, right? So New England is there. They can get a guy in a rookie contract. And you might as well go and blow that money because there are a ton of marquee free agents available in this offseason. And I'm going to go right to my last free agency bold prediction. It's not a free agent. It's actually a trade candidate. And how many times do we see GMs or reports come and say, we aren't trading blank. We have no plans to trade this player. He's our franchise quarterback or franchise receiver. We saw it again this year with the Las Vegas Raiders and Davante Adams saying,
No,
we aren't trading Davante Adams. Now, do I agree with it? If they're bringing in a rookie quarterback, if bringing in a young quarterback, are you going to trade your best receiver? No. But Jacoby Myers was pretty good last year. And if you could get somewhat of a good trade package for Davante Adams, I think they wouldn't hesitate, and I think they would pull the trigger. And who does that trade package come from? Aaron Rodgers' New York Jets. And I know a lot of people, it's the fun thing in the room. People throw it out there and say, look, he's going to go reunite with Aaron Rodgers. But I genuinely can see it happening. Now, it's not going to take a first-round pick. I don't even think it'll take a second-round pick. I think if you can get him for maybe a third and a conditional two next year, maybe that three could become a two if he reaches a certain incentives, whether that's yards or if he gets an extension, whatever it is. I think it makes sense for the Raiders to move off of Davante Adams because this team isn't going to be competitive for the next 2 years. So you might as well move him. And I know there's a guy that wants to reunite with him badly. And he's in New York and he's with the Jets. So I'm going with Davante Adams to New York. That's my final free agency bold prediction.
I like that. And I think it's something that a lot of people want to see. Raiders are in a weird spot because when they traded for him, they felt like it was a move that was going to help put them over the top, and it just absolutely did not work over there in Las Vegas. I think everyone would like to see Aaron Rodgers throwing up a perfect back shoulder fade to Davante Adams in the end zone just one more time. I'm not very high in the New York Jets last year, but I also think not a lot of people are talking about them right now, which is weird because it feels like the last 16 months, all we've done is talk about the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. So I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed to the drama of that. And I think last time Davante Adams got traded, it really got me by surprise. I don't think this would have me as surprised, even though their GM came out and said, it was Tom Telesco, that we are not trading him. But speaking of trades, final bold prediction. And this one, I think, just highlights the Carolina Panthers, the embarrassing way that they have managed their assets over the last couple of years. And Brian Burns is one of the prized edge rushers in free agency. Not only is he young, is he a star player, he is a premium position, and they've not been able to get him signed. Now, it is reported that he has asked for a ton of money from the Panthers. And maybe that's just his way of saying, like,
I don't want to play for you.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe he wants to play elsewhere and he'll take a bit of a discount. I do think he is worth top dollar. But the one thing about this, it was reported a while ago. I'm talking like several months ago. The Los Angeles Rams once offered 2 first-round picks plus for this guy. If they lose him in free agency, and I don't know if they franchise tagged him now. Like, regardless, Carolina has mismanaged this situation so much that they are not going to get even half of that back in return if they are to trade him now on the franchise tag and someone else gives him that deal. Because, I don't know, if I'm Brian Burns, I'm kind of one of those people who's not really willing to play on the franchise tag. I think I've proven enough to warrant a multi-year extension to reset the market. And Carolina is a team that I don't think is going to be winning much over the next year. We saw them do it with the way that they managed this whole first overall pick situation and the trade that, you know, sent DJ Moore to Chicago and got them Bryce Young. Now they've done it again. This is a bad mark on the front office of the Carolina Panthers. And I think the Los Angeles Rams now go out and get him for a fraction of what they once offered. And everyone can laugh at the 2 first round picks that they could have got about a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, like, see, the franchise tag is such a weird topic because, like, obviously in situations like this, it's like, okay, why should you be able to use the franchise tag on a guy like Brian Burns? Because it's like, he doesn't need to prove anything, right? You're just sort of holding him hostage now because you won't succumb to his contract demands. Okay, you don't want to succumb to his contract demands, then trade him or work with him and make it. It's so he goes somewhere where he's going to get fairly compensated because they're not using it as when the franchise tag was made, it was a reason for like this Baker Mayfield situation. It's like, okay, you want to see him prove it one more time. So we'll give you a fair salary for 1 year. There's no really security beyond the 1 year, but you haven't shown us enough to give you that long-term security. Brian Burns is 25 years old. He's played nowhere short of an elite. Like, he has been one of the best pass rushers in the league for years now. Since being drafted, I think 16th overall in 2019, he's been nothing but a stud. And is it his fault that Carolina is just Let's be real. They suck. Is it his fault? No. So, like, why would he be willing to sign a long-term extension in Carolina if Carolina's just going to waste his abilities? Like, Carolina's not going to compete for the next 2-3 years. There's no way. And I'm happy you brought that up and about how they poorly mismanaged the situation, because why wouldn't you have just traded him for what you got for the Rams, what the Rams offered you just 2 years ago? It's like, did you think that your team was going to be better than what it was? Like, you were already going through a whole fiasco with the Baker Mayfield situation and just not being unable to find a quarterback since the Cam Newton days, right? Like, this has been a franchise that for the better part of 10 years now has been a joke, right? So, like, it's been poorly mismanaged. Now their new ownership is another whole different topic. I hope Brian Burns goes somewhere, and I hope he gets paid a lot of money, because this is somebody that's deserved it for a while now. And I think it'd be picture perfect if he ends up in with the Rams again, but for a way less package, right? It would be pretty cool.
I like what you said about the franchise tag, because it is weird. Like, it's so clear that Carolina is just using this as a last resort, yeah. As in, like, oh crap, we messed up. Let's use this as a way to just make sure that nobody else can take one of our star young players. I will say this, though. Everyone loves to dump on the franchise tag. I think that the NFL having the franchise tag is one of the single biggest reasons why it is far and away not only the most successful league in North America, but why it is one of the most intriguing leagues, why it captures everyone's attention throughout the entire offseason, because having the franchise tag makes it so much easier to keep homegrown talent in a house and on your team. And I think because of that, there's way less player movement. The draft becomes infinitely more important than other leagues. And I don't know. I mean, if I was sitting beside a player and I told them this and they said, we hate the franchise tag, I would hate the franchise tag if I was playing in the league. I'm talking from a pure business perspective, from organizations being able to hold the power of negotiating. What do we see in the NBA all the time? A player wants out, he forces his way here. In the NFL, it's rare that you see that.
Very rare.
Players request trades and teams look at them and say, no, we're not trading. Yes. 49ers did it with Deebo Samuel, was that a year or two ago? It happens all the time, and I think having this rule in place, it makes everything so much more intriguing. There's so much strategy to the offseason. There's no other league where we stare at salary cap tables like we do in the NFL and cutting contracts and guaranteed money. It's just nothing like it, and I think the franchise tag is a big, big reason why. But those are our 8-ball predictions. I think we want to close the show with very, very quick rapid-fire quarterback carousels. I know some of them we touched upon in our predictions,
sure,
but I think we'll just go Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, and is there anyone I'm forgetting?
Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield, Russ. Did I say Russ?
Yeah.
Okay, there's four, right?
Okay, it's just four. That's it.
Right? I believe there's four. Whatever. We're going to do four, and if we forgot one, too bad, because we just gave you 8 bold predictions. So the first one, we'll start with Russell Wilson. I said mine. I think he's going to the Steelers. Where is Russ going?
Patriots. I'm going to say he goes to the Patriots.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? I saw another one, too. Its sneaky landing spot was the Giants. And it sort of made a lot of sense, because if you get them on the vet min, maybe bring in some competition for Daniel Jones. But Kirk Cousins, I said Falcons. Where is he going?
Oh, man. I'm going to say... I kind of don't want him to leave Minnesota. I'm going to say he stays in Minnesota.
I hope he stays in Minnesota. I'm leaning towards
the Falcons, to be honest now, but I'm just going to say he stays in Minnesota.
Fair. Let's go Justin Fields. Where is he going?
I guess this contradicts everything I said, because I feel like that would leave him in Atlanta. Atlanta's in a weird spot, but also I think Baker Mayfield's a sneaky, underrated, like, everyone just feels like he's staying in Tampa, but other teams are free to pursue him.
I think he's going to go through the process of free agency, and he's going to pick maybe he picks the biggest bag, but I think he's going to be smart with where he ends up.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say Justin Fields. Like, if I'm Atlanta, I would pursue Baker Mayfield over Justin Fields, because, again, this contract thing's a headache. I don't want to, you know, rant on that anymore. But also, I think Baker Mayfield, like, he's won 2 playoff games. There's a little bit more security. He's proven that he can lead multiple teams now. Like, he's been around, he's seen so many different offenses. To me, Baker Mayfield's a much more attractive quarterback to have on my team right now, and I think He doesn't have close to the ceiling that Justin Fields has, but okay, I'm going to say Justin Fields goes to Atlanta just because it's the place that everyone seems to want him to play in.
I think he's going to go to Denver. I think Denver, that's a sneaky spot because they had a lot of interest in him pre-draft in back in 2020 or 2021. And then they ended up taking Patrick Surtain because he did fall to them. But I think that's a sneaky spot. I think they're in a position where they're sort of not screwed to get one of the top guys. But like
all those mid-draft teams,
yeah.
Denver, Minnesota,
yes.
The Raiders, exactly. Atlanta.
That's where I think
it's weird.
One of those teams is going to end up with somebody. With somebody, like a
rookie, like a J.J. McCarthy?
Yes, or like a Bo Nix. And then it's like, then it's going to leave one of those teams with, it's like, okay, well, I guess we sort of got to trade for Fields now because who else are we going to go, right? So one of those teams is going to be really backed into a corner, and maybe that's the team that ends up trading for Justin Fields. So I think he's going to go Denver. And the final one, I believe we have in touch with Baker Mayfield. So we'll go Baker Mayfield. Pac, who do you think?
I'm going to say he re-signs with Tampa Bay. I assume you're going the same direction.
I think he's going to sign with Tampa Bay, and my bold sort of, I guess, under-the-radar landing spot would be New England for him. I think he makes sense. Like, look, I does that completely rule out a quarterback at three if I'm New England? No, I think if you bring Baker Mayfield on like a 2-year deal, if he's willing to sign something like that and draft the guy, I think he's the perfect like bridge guy. He keeps you competitive. He can teach a lot to a young quarterback just given his competitive nature and like his. I mean, the guy's been through a lot, right? Like he was a walk on. He came bounced around the league. He brought Cleveland from irrelevance to, I mean, they were a game away from the AFC Championship. Like this is that he has been through a lot, and he has only been in the league for like 5-6 years. So I love Baker. I think he's got, look, this year just proved it. He's got a lot proven, and he has a lot left in the tank. So it makes I think Tampa Bay should re-sign him, but I think there is a scenario where he plays elsewhere, and I think that could be New England. But I'll say I think he stays in Tampa, and my long shot is New England. But then again, that's going to wrap up the show. Next week, we got a lot planned. I think we're going to do sort of, instead of doing a pre-free agency show, I think we're just going to do one on Thursday, sort of recap everything. I think that's what we sort of agreed on. We're going to try and do some live streams Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll see whether that's on our Instagram or whatever. Just stay tuned for that. Again, if you made it this far, thank you. Like, download, subscribe, whatever platform you're listening to. It helps us out a ton. And I mean, look, drop in the comments what your bold predictions are as well. You might as well stay on topic and stay on theme. And we got a lot planned for next week. We'll see you on Thursday. It's off topic. We're usually Monday, but catch you guys. Enjoy free agency. And I hope your team signs a lot of outside talent.